Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know what's happening at 6 o'clock tonight? You know what happens?
We race to the parking garage and see who gets there first.
Correct answer. You know, okay. Anything else?
The Falcons beat Philadelphia and I win my pick'em pool.
Oh. Well, Fade the Divers is not going to be very exciting now. Did you just spill the beans?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I might pick against myself. Okay. I might fade the dibber on my own. I made this pick last Thursday. Tell me what happens at 6.
Well, remember, even if you're right that the Falcons do play well tonight, they won't win the game at 6 because it won't be over yet.
Fine.
What happens at 6 o'clock tonight is that our guy Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett, who will be in for Kyle Madsen today, will conduct the football hour, which promises, after a loss, to be an action-packed event. So that will happen. 95.7 The Game, 6 o'clock, the football hour. Every time the Niners play, it'll be the very next day, 6 o'clock. Grandy and company talking ball and reacting to yesterday's loss in Minnesota.
And they were great yesterday, so they'll be great again tonight. And I was in the YouTube chat yesterday in the post game. And had a situation where my two-year-old was still asleep, so I jumped in and I wanted to hear Grandy while I had the red zone on mute for the afternoon games. And just quick aside, if we can send a memo to the NFL, this 10-3 split, it stinks. 10 games in the morning was absolute football porn, and I loved it.
Were there only three?
Three afternoon games.
Pittsburgh and the Broncos.
Arizona and the Rams.
And
was it the Bengals and Chiefs?
You're right. It was the Bengals and the Chiefs. That was it?
It was a 10-3 split.
Huh.
And I mean, I'm all for the big morning and I love it out here, 10 a.m. kick. But if the NFL could do a little bit more to balance it out so we get at least four games in the p.m. wave, and it's fine when the Niners are in the afternoon. I actually prefer it because I don't have to worry about other games that I won't watch. But yeah. When the Niners are a part of a 10-game morning and you get three in the afternoon, it left me wanting more. And so I went to Grandy and Sterling, and you guys were great.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about the early window for a while. The Niners will not appear again in the early window until week 10 at Tampa. And then,
really?
Yep. And then never again.
They have two 10 a.m. games?
That's it. The rest are all going to be at 1, or, as you know, they've got a truck full of primetime games.
You watch your language. Yeah. Man.
Thursday in Seattle, Sunday night Dallas, Sunday night Buffalo, Thursday night Rams, Monday night Lions. Lots of primetime for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
So, anyway, all right, let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570. Why do you think the Niners lost yesterday? Where are your eyes and ears after this one? Jonathan, who is leaving work. Jonathan, that's a wonderful thing to be leaving work. Congratulations. Jonathan? He left work and he left his phone at work. All right.
And I like the comment there on the phone. Jonathan. Cocktail for disaster.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that. I wanted to hear about the cocktail. No?
I've had some disastrous cocktails in my day. Usually a lot of sugar in there.
Oh my gosh, we're going from a guy leaving work all the way out to Bangkok, Thailand. Don't tell me to watch my mouth. Let's talk to Derek. Take it easy. Derek, what are you doing? Are you in Thailand right now?
Yes, sir.
What?
Go ahead.
What time is it out there?
It is 5 in the morning now.
the hell's the matter with you, you crazy person? What are you doing talking to us at 5 in the morning?
Oh, man, I wake up at midnight to watch the Niners get beat by, you know, the team that seems to get their numbers. It just comes out that way sometimes. And certain teams can seem to beat certain teams for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I was really sad until I saw that the world's favorite Cowboys lost, so I didn't feel so bad afterwards.
Exactly.
But Bangkok is great. Bangkok is great.
Any other thoughts on the Niners, Derek?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for C-Mac to get back. And I was, you know, I think losing early is good. Losing this early may not be as good. I was hoping they would win a few games before they took an L. But, you know, who's perfect besides Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter?
Wow.
Got to give it to the brother.
Yeah.
It wasn't great yesterday.
Well, good enough.
Lowest pass yardage total of his career.
I know, but into field goal range.
Fine.
Whether the refs were helping them or not, I wasn't watching at the end of that one. I saw all the highlights on Twitter. You love what I'm about to say.
Talk to me.
Love this.
Love it on the refs?
You're going to love it. Well,
you're already in my good graces after your earlier analysis.
That ref can run, okay?
Yes, he can.
That ref can run. But I'll say this. I didn't get to see the entire Chiefs-Bengals game because Lil Man had a basketball game. We went to go see that. So I didn't get to see the whole thing. And I know everybody, it's super cool now to just think that the Chiefs have 12 men and one of them wears stripes. Okay, maybe there were some crazy calls. I'm sure there were. But the one that keeps circulating, the pass interference, do you want to know what that was? Pass interference.
Thank you.
That was pass. I don't care if how it compares to other things you've seen. I've seen worse not called. You're probably right. But the bottom line is, he got there early. He ran through the back of the receiver. That's pass interference. So, with the benefit of that, it was it was good enough.
You make me so happy sometimes.
Well, it's early in the week.
And just 10 seconds on that, the official who's watching that happen is not thinking about every other call that has either been made or not made and thinking, you know what, that's not as bad as other ones I've seen. You know what I mean?
That'd be amazing pool report.
Right.
Why did you not call PI there? Well, I was going to, and it was PI. But I was watching Red Zone Channel earlier in the day, and there was a play in Detroit that was worse that didn't get called, so I held my flag. That'd be the last game he officiated.
And just 5 seconds, a second quick aside, Dan Campbell, my God. I mean, how many more games are you going to single-handedly blow?
He's tremendously entertaining. I love him. I love him. He's so entertaining.
He's a lot of fun. Remind me not to bet on Detroit ever.
Oh,
because they look great, and then he'll do something to blow it, or they look terrible, and then he'll do something to win it.
Did you bet on them yesterday?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm lined up to potentially win my pick pool because of that one. And a shout out to my buddy. We do a little thingamabob, all of us, all ten of us jump in. That was the one pick. What's your one pick? I said Bucks +7.5. He goes, well, you're going to be the bozo of the week for that pick.
Look at you loving on my Baker Mayfield.
Won the game outright.
And
it was a blowout.
He's looking pretty good now.
He's looking really
Baker
good.
Mayfield, like,
really good.
Change of scenery and a little bit of that grow-up sauce.
MVP.
Get off my Baker Mayfield. Get off my guy.
Doug in Wichita. Hi, Doug. What's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. Hey, man, the other guy mentioned what I wanted to talk about a little bit. He said the Vikings have the Niners' number. I was thinking there's like three teams in the league in the last few years that do have our number. It's just a matchup thing. One is Minnesota, the Vikings, when they play in Minnesota. I don't think we've won up there since the 90s.
Correct.
Like, it's some kind of surprise, you know? It's one of those games where every year, or not every year, but when we got to go up there and play, I get a pit in my stomach. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this one, man. It's the Vikings for some reason. The other two are the Chiefs and the Stripes. I know. They get the calls either way. It's like Jordan back in the day. Okay, and the other team is the Ravens. I don't remember the last time we beat the Ravens going clear back to Super Bowl 47. It's just those three teams are bad matchups for us for whatever reason. It's not worthy of a fire sale. It's one game that happens to be the second one of the season. Bang, bang, Niner gang, baby. Let's get it together. We'll see you next time.
There you go, Doug. Appreciate it, man. Although I do laugh sometimes when people go, look, it's a bad matchup. It's been a bad matchup since the 90s. Well, those are completely different humans.
Totally.
Completely different coaches. It wasn't even the same building. With a totally different game plan. A completely different scheme. Like, if you want to say that about these Vikings because of what happened last year also, you can do that. Totally different quarterback.
Kyle Shanahan was 12 last time the Niners won there. So,
was it 92?
Yep. Damn. 92.
I couldn't even vote yet.
Oof. I could, but I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Boy, was in a different state.
I love the young people.
Whatever, Grandy.
A lot cooler if you did. We're sponsored by Safeway. All right, yeah. Why do you think the Niners lost? What are you pointing at? 888-957-9570. Those of you on hold, we're coming straight to you. And I wanted to address a little bit more of that Purdy thing. If a team loses, you have to blame the quarterback because that happens with other teams. Let's talk that out a little bit next on Withered and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Down in 10. Donald, it's intercepted. It's picked off by Warner at the 10. He'll get up, and he's got an entourage hurtling, driving, and a turnover for the Vikings. And who better to do it than All-Pro Fred Warner?
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibb
on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to go to the phones. I want to get this take off. That call, and I apologize, I'm going to forget his name, but the one who was talking about the standard to which we hold Brock Purdy and all quarterbacks for that matter. It was a very good call. It's a very good call on the radio. There's one but. Sir Mix-a-Lot sized.
There's a big but here.
I am.
Where do you see his butt?
I like him round and big. Anyway, sorry.
That was all funny. Okay. Here's the thing I'm starting to get real hesitant about is when people use the phrase same energy.
That was directed at you.
I know it was. And I don't care about that. But I now have a retort and a response for anybody who wants to use, you got to keep the same energy. Because, by the way, that got directed at you last week.
Wait a minute.
No, it did. Last week when you were critical of Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
After the game against the Chiefs, I heard a lot of, Dibs, you better keep that same energy. If you use the phrase same energy, you're on social media too much. That's my opinion. Because these situations are not the same. And no. Like, literally think about what you're asking people to do. You're asking people to have the same opinion about two different things. You're literally asking for context to go into a vast wasteland. So you're telling me whenever there's a loss, we just have to keep the same energy on the quarterback. That's what you're saying? Isn't that lazy? I feel like that's lazy. Brock Purdy didn't play well yesterday. That's not hard to say. He wasn't awful. I also reject this idea, at least personally, that when other teams lose, we just automatically hold the quarterback responsible. He brought up Dak and Jordan Love. I don't even know. Have I ever said anything bad about Jordan Love ever? I don't remember that. Jordan Love is very good. He's now hurt. That's too bad. He was very good here in the playoffs last year until he was put in a situation where he had to do a fire drill and he threw a pick to Dre Greenlaw. He threw a couple of picks in that game, actually. That doesn't make him a bad player. Lamar Jackson, what are we talking about? He's one of the best players in the league. He's phenomenal. And I flatly reject this idea of going week to week. It's the same thing we've done to LeBron James. It's like where every play, his legacy is on the line. You miss a shot in the fourth quarter, oh, you bum.
Or when he passes the ball, even greater than that.
You're scared,
yeah.
LeBron. You're scared. Don't fall prey to this. That is your social media side talking. You can have a better take than that. There are so many things that happen in this football game, and I'd argue the Vikings outplayed the Niners yesterday in just about all of them. Their quarterback was better. Their lines were better. Their coach was better. Their special teams was better. All of the things were better. So, no, I will not apologize for not making this all about Brock. And if you are, I what are you doing? That's not what happened yesterday.
Well, if you want to rank what happened, and I want to get to more of the phone calls, 888-957-9570 is the phone number. Why did they lose yesterday? If you want to power rank why they lost yesterday, for me, Brock Purdy's play is probably fifth or sixth at best as to why they lost, in my opinion. I would look at other things before that, including an offensive line that didn't give him a lot of time. I would look at a defensive secondary that made mistakes. I'd look at a special teams group that was awful, and I would give them an F, and I don't know what Grandy gave them on Grandy's grades, which comes up tomorrow.
I can't wait. I already can't wait.
I hope it's an F, because for me, it's an F. Blocked punt, muff punt, a kickoff return that never should have happened where you had a flag and started at the 10-yard line.
Yep, good point.
So if I want to rank the reasons why they lost, I probably would get to Nick Sorensen before I get to Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, Brock, I don't know. To me, it's pretty easy. Like, it was not a game to write home about for Brock Purdy. It was not. That's not hard to say. But again, my suggestion today, at least the way I'd love to do this, I don't know why every time 60 minutes of football happen, we have to make a grandiose statement about all of the people. So now Kyle Shanahan's a dummy head, and Brock Purdy is not worth any money, and then we stop because we're like, that's it, the coach and the quarterback.
That's it.
There's a lot more going on here. So can't we just say, not a great game for Brock, not an absolute craterville either. Like, there you go. And I'm with you. Like, not the lead story of the game yesterday, in my opinion.
If I was to grade just Brock Purdy, probably a C+.
C plus. Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, it wasn't, I don't think that it was terrible. He did throw a terrible interception inside his own 20, and the fumble is the kind of play that you cannot make at this level where you just have the ball squirt out of your hand. He missed a couple of open receivers, and other than that, if you want to be honest with your assessment of Brock Purdy, in the opening quarter or so, he made three or four big time throws, including, Grandy mentioned it before, the fourth down throw to Jennings, which was an absolute thread on fourth down from midfield.
Like, if you want to make a grandiose statement about a quarterback so far in the NFL,
I'll give you one.
Yeah, we should use a segment.
Yeah,
grandiose
statements.
I love it. You do that on your football hour.
It's funny because he's very measured. He doesn't do grandiose, you know?
Well,
so it might be a nice departure.
Yeah, come on, gussy it up a little bit.
Thank you.
Here's a grandiose statement for you.
Okay.
Anthony Richardson looks awful. There's your grandiose statement.
I had that last year.
If you really want to get into quarterbacking, you know, like, yeah, there's some guys who look really good who you wouldn't have thought so. Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield look really, really good. And then who surprisingly looks like Anthony Richardson looks like terrible. Deshaun Watson looks awful.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Justin Herbert looks like a Jim Harbaugh product now, where like other things are happening. You're not going to ask that much of him anymore. It's almost been the case with Mahomes, too, who hasn't really looked special so far, but we know already all about him. Like,
if you want a small sample size it, Gardner Minshew, greater than Lamar Jackson.
Well, he was in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Thank you.
Kyler Murray has been phenomenal this year.
Unstoppable.
You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, I just think there's a lot more going on. So keep that same energy. Is like, I don't know, y'all really running around with these scoreboards on people like that? Like, back in April, you said, like, come on, man, we're watching these games. React to them in real time. Put your scoreboard away. Like, stop the gotcha stuff. I don't know, man. Just chill on that. Paul in Oakland. Hey, man, what's going on, Paul? You're on with Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, guys. Great conversation. So three perspectives about the outcome yesterday. First one, real quick. To me, the real palpable sequence was the 49ers not getting in. And then two plays later, the Vikings hit the home run. So that's minus six for the 49ers, plus six for the Vikings. That's a 12-play swing. That's number one. Number two, if the 49ers had elected to take the three instead of attempting the fourth down throw, add three to their score, now the Vikings' home run, probably not going to happen because the contingency is not going to be there with them backed up and then taking a shot. So if you take six off the Vikings score and add three to the 49ers, it's 19-17 if you want to look at it that way. Third and last thing to me is take a look at the totality of the game. 60 minutes. Of those 60 minutes, how many of those minutes were the 49ers in chase mode, i.e. were they behind in the game? In Minnesota, against that team, in that venue.
I mean, almost and, most of them, right, Paul? I mean, most of them.
Yeah, yeah. So Dibbs, as a coach, can probably relate to the emotion and energy and stress that is involved in coming from behind on the road in somebody else's building against a team that you've had difficulty with. That's high cost. That's high energy. That's high investment. And the longer the game goes and the more you're in that chase mode, the more difficult it is to flip the outcome and get what you want, which is the win. That's just a reality.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. What Paul is trying to do, and we as radio hosts can help you with this, Paul. You're trying to go deep into the context, which really, really matters, but it's hard for a lot of people. And I get it. Yeah. I'm not asking for that or demanding that. I get it. You want to sit on your couch. You want to eat some unhealthy food. You want to scream, and you want the Niners to look good. And when they don't, it's like, well, that was a stupid play call. And the quarterback is not amazing, and then you go on about your day, and that's fair. There's nothing like unfair about that, but that's not really what's going on. There's so many more things going on. And then as far as this two play sequence, if it goes that way, yeah, like the context of this game is different. You're on the road. That's a hard place to play. For all we know, the Vikings are actually a pretty good football team. You were behind, and quarterbacks, this will be big now, all quarterbacks turn the ball over more when you're behind. That's just a fact. That's a fact of the league because you take more chances because you're behind. So, you know, go back to last year against Minnesota. I remember we talked about this last week.
Yep.
Brock had some turnovers. Yeah, because they were in freaking go mode. Like they were you knew they were going to pass, and they had to force some things to try to get back in the game. That's going to cause more turnovers. So that was part of yesterday too.
Yesterday, the big thing though, to the caller's point, is you're behind and you go into the locker room. You're down 13-7. You come out, you force a three and out, then you punt it back. Then they punt it back to you. The defense was doing its job early on. You get the ball inside your own 20, and that's where the Brock pick really hurt you. And that, to me, was one of the biggest plays of the game, where he sees Juszczyk, and he sees him, and he thinks about it, and he throws it late. And that pick is really what swung the game. Because even though the first half didn't go well, and Jefferson hit the home run, and you failed on fourth and two, and all the rest of it, you were only down six. And the defense had forced two punts early in that third quarter. So that interception, which led to the first play touchdown, now you're down 20-7, and now you're in a spot where you have to kind of abandon the run.
Bad pick, bad play.
Bad time, bad throw.
You're absolutely right.
Because the defense had gotten you a little bit of momentum back by holding them twice, and then, you know, you get the ball back, and you're hoping for one of those classic Shanahan drives, 14 plays, 80 yards, 9 minutes off the clock, and you would be up 14-13. Instead, Brock Purdy on the second throw throws that ghastly pick, and then they go one play touchdown. Boo boo!
95-7 The Game. Breaking news.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dibs, but Kyle Shanahan, speaking on his conference call right now, we'll have the sound for you coming up in a little bit, has said that Deebo Samuel, he has suffered a calf strain and he will miss a couple of weeks.
Oh, crap.
Did you say Juan Samuel or Deebo Samuel?
Deebo Samuel.
Oh, God. Because Juan Samuel used to play for the Phillies a long time ago. It'd be a lot cooler if he was out.
That's interesting because
Deebo Samuel out for 2 weeks, couple of weeks?
Kyle Shanahan stated after the football game yesterday that there were no injuries to report.
Yeah.
That was stated in his post game yesterday. So something popped up, and that is not good.
And I'm just looking at the play-by-play, and Deebo Samuel ran the ball on the last play that they would run from scrimmage. He lost 9 yards. On that running play, it was 3rd and 1 at the Minnesota 4, the first play under 2 minutes, and he lost 9, and we can get into that play call if you want at some point, where, you know, he lost 9 yards on 3rd and 1, and you ended up kicking the field goal, but
didn't like that play call
at all.
But like even less how many people are telling Deebo that he should have dropped the ball on purpose for two reasons. Number one, you're asking for someone in an absolute blink of an eye to totally ignore his instincts, which is crazy. But number two, I'm not 100% sure that that was a forward pass. And if he drops the ball, there may well have been a fumble.
Well, it's listed here as a run.
Well, there you have it. So stop telling Deebo to drop the ball because Minnesota right. would have gotten the ball and the Niners wouldn't have gotten anything.
And I'm looking at the box score, and Deebo is listed as 2 carries for minus 10, and that was minus 9, mm-hmm. and I know he lost 1 yard on the other carry, so wow. Deebo Samuel is going to miss a couple of weeks?
This is troubling. This is really troubling, and no one's going to feel sorry for you this weekend because you're going up against a team that's got neither of their receivers. But if you want to talk about all of the – anyone who has had reservations, that's how I'll say it, reservations about the play of Brock Purdy, they are largely dependent on the two players he will not have for the next couple of weeks. The thought is, well, you could just dip it to Christian and dump it to Deebo, and you get all of this, all of these yards out of that. Well, okay, here we go. Let's take a look. You can see Brock Purdy play a couple of games with no Deebo and no Christian. And this is a problem.
This is a big problem.
This is a big, big problem.
Well, you think about your biggest weapons so far this year. Jordan Mason's been fantastic. George Kittle has been really good. Brandon Ayuk is yet to really make a huge impact. Juwan Jennings has been solid, but now you're going to go without Christian McCaffrey and Deebo, and I'm looking at Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet on Twitter, and he says a calf strain and we'll miss a few weeks. So a couple or a few, if you're looking at a few. And we know about calf strain, and Dr. Nirav Pandya joins us tomorrow, cleared to play. We'll get his thoughts on the latest calf strain.
Jeez.
But, man, Mark, I mean, what do you do offensively when you've got no Deebo and no McCaffrey? You're going to have Jordan Mason, and you still don't have Ricky Pearsall because he's recovering from a gunshot wound.
No, I mean,
you're running out of skill guys here in a hurry.
I mean, you would hope that Brandon Ayuk is fully up to speed by week 3, And, yeah, you're going to have to start seeing some other people. I like Jacob Cowing might have a role. He's a speed guy. Let's see what you can do. You know what I mean? You're going to have to – Juwan Jennings will continue to have to play a big role. Kittle, Jordan Mason's going to have to run the ball. It is less dynamic. You know what I mean? Bet the under. Don't ask for 30 points. It's probably not the style to play. But let's see it. Let's see it. The Rams are as wounded as anybody. So you don't really get to use that card this weekend, quite frankly. They're even more hurt than you.
Seriously, when you talk about, you know, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, they're two big weapons. And, you know, they had guys yesterday catching the football. And then, you know, like, you look at the back of their jersey, it's like, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Washington, and there was a Jefferson. It was like a presidential receiving core.
All right, 888-957-9570. Why do you think the 49ers lost yesterday? But we can also dive into the breaking news that Deebo Samuel has a calf strain and is going to miss at least a couple weeks. So right now, based on the way Kyle said that, I'd assume at least no Rams and no Patriots the next couple of weeks. And then you'll see after that. Because obviously the calf strain is something similar to, along the lines to what Christian is dealing with. And so could it linger? Could it become a bigger problem? Sure, it could. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. You're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Unfortunately, the loss doesn't make it good. You know, I called in last week and I said that without CMC in the backfield, okay, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense is not as dynamic, okay? And we saw that, okay? Don't get me wrong. I think Jordan Mason had a great game. But still, with him not back there, you know, he just doesn't have – you know, Brock Purdy doesn't have enough weapons, and not only that, he doesn't have the ability to fool the defense. So they went with what they went with yesterday, and, I mean – the offense, in my opinion, didn't necessarily play awful, okay? They played a decent game, but the defense, in my opinion, didn't play well, and I would have thought that they would have got a hold of Darnold a little better than what they did. Don't get me wrong, they got a sack, and that's nice, but you want to see at least, you know, 2 to 4 sacks in a game. That's when you know the defense is humming. And the other thing is, you know, Sorensen, I don't know what he was thinking with that one defensive setup against not only the highest played receiver in the game, but the fastest receiver in the game. You did not cover that back end well enough, and that's the reason why Justin Jefferson beat you. So if you're going to run plays like that against that type of talent, dude, you're going to be looking up all night at L's through the rest of the season. Thanks, guys.
Rich, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't like that as a defensive setup. I understand that the 49ers probably thought that they would send a couple extra bodies and they would get to Sam Darnold, and they didn't. So once again, it's a risk that you take, and you're thinking at the 2-yard line you're going to get away with that. You got bit. You got. And my first thought goes to the Vikings offensive line. They did a great job on that play.
No doubt.
They did a great job on that play.
And the Niners did not have the right guys back in coverage, and you didn't expect that they would go 60 yards in the air up top, over the top, and beat you with a 97-yard pass, and that turned out to be a huge play that was the difference in the game. I was just reading more quotes from Kyle Shanahan. I know we'll have more of the sound coming up, but apparently Deebo got hurt on the third to last play from scrimmage, which okay. I'm looking was a pass to the right that he got for 2 yards on the play. So maybe by the time he got that last catch slash run and he lost 9 yards, he was already hampered. But you were at a spot, he was going to play out the game anyway, even though he had maybe a calf injury before that last play.
Well, Deebo's such a warrior. Yep. He's going to stay in there. But, you know, we can adjust the question a little bit, too. And let me start by asking you, because I think this is where people's minds are going to go. So you're going to get 2 weeks of 49er football with no Christian McCaffrey and no Deebo Samuel. So flounder or flourish? You know who I'm talking about. This is what y'all wanted to see. This is what you've all been warning that we're going to see. So what do you think we're going to see? Brock Purdy flounder or flourish?
I think he's going to flourish. I think he will flourish, and it's going to have to be in a different way. And it's going to have to be a lot of George Kittle. And you saw some of the most productive plays yesterday. And I'm looking at the list of third down conversions. And they were 2 of 10 on third down. But he had four completions to George Kittle on third down. Two of them went for first downs. The other two set up fourth downs that one time they converted, one time they didn't convert. But this is going to be a huge dose of George Kittle. And the other piece of it is, can you get one of the young players to step in and actually contribute? Because I mentioned Grendo before, and his one carry looked very, very discouraging. He looked tentative, and he didn't look like he really knew where to go or what hole to hit. And the other one is Jacob Cowing. Can he step in and shake off the muff that he had? Can he step in and be a receiver?
This is so poetic.
Because Bobby Chosen's on another team now.
He's on the Dolphins. Yeah, exactly. This is so poetic, and I don't mean this in any of a good way at all. This is a horrible thing for the 49ers now to be playing significant time without Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. But going into the contract extension offseason, it's almost poetic. You're going to get the answer that you wanted to get. Is Brock someone who can function without his top weapons around him or not? And what are your expectations? How do they change? I'm not expecting 35 points, 34 points the way we normally do. But yeah, you also don't get to just like be like, well, now I'm not good. Because that feeds right into what so many Negatrons have said about you. So let's see it. You should be able to still read a defense and deliver a ball, right? You still got a running back who's giving you 100 yards or more both games. So
you got a wide receiver making $30 million a year.
Yep, exactly right. All right. It's Willard and Dibs. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Is Brock going to flounder or flourish? 888-957-9570. Your call's next.
All right, guys, injuries from the game, just one new one. Deebo ended up having a calf strain. He'll probably miss a couple weeks. That's it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Word travels fast.
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
I mean,
that's it. Is he talking about the injury list or the season?
Right? I mean, Deebo has a calf. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. That's it. Oh, you mean that's all? Kyle, that's it? Just a couple of weeks and you have no running back, no starting running back?
Possibly.
For 4 weeks and, yeah, you're
You have a starting running back? Sure. Is he leading the league in rushing?
He might be.
Who
he
is?
Is he leading the who's league in carries?
Who's got more than 248?
J.K. Dobbins might.
Oh, J.K. Dobbins. Is that it? Here, let me pull it up real quick. Rushing. Yeah, Mason's two. You're right. Dobbins has got 266, and Mason's got 247.
And look out for Saquon tonight. He might jump them all. We'll see.
What did Saquon have just rushing last week? What did Saquon have? I don't even say. Did he even have 100 yards rushing? Yeah, he had 109. But he didn't need another big night. Some of that was receiving. But anyway, yeah. If you're just joining us, Deebo Samuel is going to miss, quote, the next couple weeks with a calf strain. And that just popped up, apparently happened toward the end of the game. I love this fan base. This fan base is so into it. A lot of red in Minnesota. You nut jobs all flew to Minnesota for this. Good job. Good work. But yeah, I just got a text from my 15-year-old daughter. With about 17 M's. Deebo's now out for the next 3 weeks as well, Dad.
Is that how you read her texts?
That's how they're written.
Right.
I'm like, I love that my daughter, who knows that I'm in the middle of a sports radio show in San Francisco, is trying to break news to me about Deebo Samuel. Why? Because she loves it. She's into it that much.
Totally.
Yeah. So she is, she's into it, you're into it, and this is scary. This is scary. But 888-957-9570, you think Brock Purdy's going to flourish or flounder? Because it's poetic going into the big contract negotiation offseason. Now we're going to see him without Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. But this is what people kind of, in a way, want to see. Like, let's see. You want 60 mil? Let's see. Let's see you move the ball. And I'll already tell you that some of this will be unfair because any quarterback in the league, if you start losing, you're like, what's Matt Stafford supposed to look like next week? How'd he do yesterday? Like, they looked awful. They can't move the ball. So there's going to be some of that. I would pull expectations for point total down, but it's not like it's not a running excuse either. You have to still be able to function. You know, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl with who as his receivers? You have to still be Josh Allen. We turned the whole receiving core over. We're 2-0. All right. Like, let's see it. And he still does have plenty of name weapons. A $30 million receiver. You got an expensive tight end.
Ah, there you go.
You got Jordan Mason in the backfield. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that they'll be fine.
Well, and the spread hasn't moved as far as I can see. For the Ram game, still favored by 7.5. And even if the spread does move, you're still going to be favored over the Rams. You're going to be favored over the Patriots. Even if you don't have Deebo or McCaffrey, you're still going to be favored in both of those games. And you've got a quarterback who is top five in the MVP. You've got one of the best tight ends. And you've got a wide receiver making $30 million. And you got a Hall of Famer at left tackle. So, memo to the 49ers and their named players, go out there and play like you're supposed to play. Hey, Brandon Ayuk, it'll be week 3. It's time for you to shake off the rust and get ready to be a dominant receiver again. And Trent Williams, who allowed 4 pressures yesterday and was generally not very good yesterday, go out there and be better.
That's where you want to look, by the way. That my super quick answer to this, and it'll probably be unsatisfying, but if the offensive line creates time, the 49er offense will be fine. They'll move. And if there's no time, boy, they're going to struggle because those are his fail safes. Those, you know what I mean? Those are the people you look to sort of move the chains when things are tight or tough or 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. Like, that's what I'm really interested to know what 3rd down's going to look like. Because 3rd down is Deebo and Christian and Deebo.
And Juwan.
And Juwan. I get you. But Juwan is usually like, why is Juwan open? Because Christian and Deebo. So that's what I'm really, especially since it didn't go well on that front yesterday. That's what I'm really going to be looking at. But my God, Rams and Niners with no Christian, no Deebo, no Puka, no Cooper. Good Lord.
Yeah, not a lot of fantasy value on the field in that game for the most part. I mean, not as much as you're used to seeing, but now it becomes Chris Conley, and it becomes Juwan Jennings. And, you know, honestly, Kyle Juszczyk, a guy who had a couple of big catches yesterday, now maybe he plays a little bit more of a role in the pass game. But I still think beyond the Deebo Samuel injury, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I was thinking a lot about it even before the game, they need another running back, somebody that they can trust, because they didn't even use Deebo yesterday almost at all.
Not much.
He had 2 carries, and the second carry was the 9-yard loss that was more of a lateral pass anyway. They need somebody to come in there and be able to carry the ball so you don't have Jordan Mason toting it 24 times a game.
One more from Kyle Shanahan, who was asked how frustrating it is that Deebo and McCaffrey are out.
Yeah, I mean, always when you lose real good players, it's always tough, but it happens all over the league, and it's a huge part of this league and a huge part of this game. Got to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good answer. No one's going to feel sorry for you. No one's going to feel sorry for you. Look at what's going on around the league. We've already got a quarterback benched. We've got a concussion controversy, if you want to call it that, in Miami. I mean, that was tucked into the weekend that no one wanted to talk about. But Ian Rappaport's like, Tua's not retiring. He's not retiring.
Why would he? Because you all think he should?
Fair.
So, I mean, because you think that he should retire because he's had 3 concussions, so he's going to respond to that and just retire? Isn't that a decision that he and his family should make?
I think so.
And his doctors?
I think so.
Now, the Bryce Young one, that's just an unfortunate early admission of probably a bad pick, and he's getting pulled 2 weeks in. But you're right, Mark, about all around the league, there have been a lot of players who've gotten injured, and No one's going to weep for the 49ers being down two of the top 100 in the NFL.
The Packers already had to play their home opener with a backup quarterback. They went out, they won the game. Grind it out. Figure it out. You know, I saw Amon-Ra St. Brown limping around yesterday. I don't know how he is. The Eagles will play tonight without A.J. Brown.
I think Amon-Ra was just cramping is what the report was. Yeah.
Is he all right?
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he seems fine. Yeah. You guys talk about Isaiah Pacheco?
Pacheco, thank you.
On IR.
Fibula, IR.
Yep. Might miss like 6 or 8 games.
Yeah, for sure. It's a broken fibula. That's not going to be fast. So this is the deal. And there, the season was never going to be without this. You just didn't hope that it was this big of name value this quickly, especially to get the news. I mean, Christian goes on IR. The next day you lose, and the next day you get Debo. It's a hell of a 3 days.
It's rough. It's
not good.
It's not what you're looking for.
No.
And it's whatever. It's next man up mentality, and it's a cliche, but when you look at this Niner team and this situation, it's even more true and telling than ever before, because these are the games, this is the spot of the schedule where you thought that you could make some hay, because the Rams, not great. The Patriots are rebuilding, and Arizona, well, it turns out they're better than you thought. But this is the stretch before you get to Kansas City and Buffalo and Dallas and the gauntlet. You go to Green Bay in late fall, early winter. These were the games that you were looking at thinking, okay, this is where we should be able to make some hay.
888-957-9570. And the question is, now that we've got the breaking news that Debo Samuel is going to be out for, quote, a couple of weeks. So now we know, for a minimum, the Rams game and the Patriots game, no Debo, no Christian McCaffrey. Do you think Brock Purdy will flounder or flourish? I'm going to say flourish, which will surprise no one, but maybe the reason it is not what you think it is. It's not because I think Brock is amazeballs. Here's why I think he's going to be a flourish, at least this weekend. I actually look at the Patriot game. It's at home. It's the Patriots. But that one's going to be tougher. The Patriots play a physical brand. Their defense has been playing well so far this year. They gave the Seahawks everything they could handle yesterday, even though that game was in Foxborough. I think that he'll flourish because I believe that the 49ers in the next 2 weeks will win the battle in the trenches. The Rams' offensive line is a hot mess. And so defense can lead to offense. I think they'll win the field position battle. I think they'll give him a short field. If the offensive line plays well, Brock will play well. That's one thing I think is just across the board. Brock Purdy, to me, is that's where I feel like he's a really good player. Is he Mahomes or Allen where he can make anything happen on the field? No. But if you give him time, there are very few that I have more confidence in than Brock Purdy. So I'll answer the question by saying I think that they can win the battle in the trenches, and I think that his decision-making and accurate delivery and all of those things will be on display, and I still expect the 49ers to be 3-1 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they should be 3-1. I mean, they're going to be favored by a touchdown on Sunday and probably a touchdown if they win against New England, I would imagine. So yeah, those are games that you quote-unquote should win, but you're right about the amount of pressure and the expectancy now on Brock Purdy without McCaffrey and without Debo for the next couple, two or three games, however long it is. It's going to be a lot more on Brock Purdy. And defensively, if you're scheming against the Niners, it's, you know, worry about Ayuk and George Kittle and, you know, try to stop Jordan Mason and see if Brock Purdy can beat you down the field.